Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. So I want to talk today about Ken Buck and his final departing FU.
Gift.
Gift to the voters of Colorado. You know, he couldn't have done this any worse, right? We've talked already about how the whole thing was designed to screw over Lauren Boebert. As you know, so two things will have to go on. There's roughly nine people who are running. Once he announced he wasn't going to seek re-election, about nine people jumped into the race to seek election then.
At one time, it was up to 12.
At one time, it was up to 12. I think it's down to about nine now. And then in the meantime, though, rather than just waiting and quitting in January, like a decent congressperson representing his constituents, he decided to screw over everybody by leaving last week, which means that now the state has to hold a special election that will occur on June 25th, the same day as the primary election. And the Democrats will nominate their candidate for the special election. The Republicans will nominate their candidate for the special election. The thing is, that's thrown, and it's not run by the state party, right? It's run by the CD4 people. I think Tom Weens is the head of CD4, right? And it has thrown everything into consternation and chaos, which Ken Buck could care less about, right?
Because it's kind of
happened. I think so, because no one is really clear on how it goes. Now,
Or who votes or why
they vote. Lauren Boebert already said that, you know, yes, this is Ken's attempt to screw me. I won't be seeking election to the special election.
Because she'd have to resign from her other seat, create another vacancy.
Right. And it would be just a mess. So she said, no, I'm not going to play Ken Buck's game. Now, Deborah Flora had initially said right out of the gate that she was going to do it, but she is now publicly saying she does not want to be considered for the special election. She said the process is, in her words, fundamentally flawed and lacks clarity and transparency. She said it wasn't until about a few days ago that the candidates even had any kind of communication from the people at CD4 as to how the whole process was going to work. Well, as I understand it, talking to sort of people in the know, part of the problem there is that people in CD4 didn't know how it was supposed to work. The bylaws, as you can imagine, are confusing.
You're kidding. Need to get Ben in there.
Yeah, open to confusion, open to interpretation. And they apparently there's not really going to be any chance for the candidates to talk because the CD4 insiders are going to be meeting tomorrow night in Hugo, and they will pick the special session.
Are they going to have a candidate appear before them?
Not as far as anybody knows. No, they're not sure. Well, they're not even sure. I mean, it's today, and they're not even really sure who can or who shouldn't be able to vote. Now, Deborah Flora says that the CD4 people told her campaign that there were going to be 111 people voting. These would mostly be elected officials or somehow elected either in CD4 or like
Congress members.
All of them, the party insiders, right? Not that that's bad. We're PC.
We're
party insiders. But would you want us to decide? No, I'm kidding.
No.
But it's not clear which can, which can't. It's extremely confusing. As far as I know, there's no plan to hear from any of the candidates. Our suspicion has been all along that it was done to give Jerry Sonnenberg an inside track. He is also seeking. He's a longtime Rhino out of CD4.
California of the Year, according to Independence Institute.
That's right. That's right. Who are Californians of the Year in their own right. Mm-hmm. So when you are to California for John Caldera,
you're Cali.
You're
LA. You're LA, buddy.
So they're going to be voting. And Deborah Flora was explaining that and I heard her, she was on 710 CAN-US. And I have to say, I wish that Billy and Jeff Hunt had understood the process more because their questions were not very thorough. But at any rate,
I have other things to worry about.
She said part of the problem from her point of view is there are 450,000 voters in CD4, right? 111 people, she said, selecting the nominee isn't even remotely representational. And she said, plus it's goofy the way the positions are assigned. She said her reading of the bylaws was, for instance, Larimer County, the second most populous county in CD4, would only have one vote for the special election person, whereas some of the smaller counties, coincidentally, where Jerry Sonnenberger is popular, might have as many as three. So she said, it's just a mess.
It's a cluster.
And Ken Buck, thank you, Ken Buck, for creating this.
Yes, you're welcome.
That was in his intent, right?
Sure.
Now, I think the ethical thing to do.
Here we go, everybody.
Everyone agrees with me, yes. Except for the insiders and Ken Buck, would be for them to select somebody for the special district election, which will be June 25th, who does not want to run in the general election, who's not running in the primary, right? I've heard Greg Lopez's name talked about, tossed around. He would be good. Somebody who's just kind of a placeholder.
I'd do it. I mean, not that they want me to, but I do
CD4.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have to be in CD4. Mm-hmm. So you get to say, oh yeah, are you, former Congressman Chuck Bonney? Oh, great. Okay. I was only there for lunch or something, but here comes the former congressman, and you go, great. And they have to pay you money. Maybe you get retirement.
They probably would not have too much, trouble, getting somebody, but instead, now here's my suspicion though. That the fact that there is such lack of clarity, the fact that there is such lack of transparency, the fact that nobody seems to be willing to come out and say exactly what they're going to do or how they're going to do it makes me suspicious. That somehow or another,
maybe somebody knows
and somebody is rigging it to put their favorite person in, which was the whole point of Ken Buck resigning so abruptly in the first place, don't you think? I mean, it's just a mess.
Just a goddamn mess.
Thank you, Ken Buck. And then he's like, well, the Freedom Caucus kicked me out. Who knew?
Why would they do that?
But here's the thing. I don't know what Ken Buck thinks he's going to do, but I don't think, particularly even given this, I think even people who might have been somewhat predisposed to still look at Ken Buck somewhat favorably, I think the people, rhinos. But I think in the meantime are kind of like, what the frick? This has created a total mess. And it's unnecessarily, I think, which again was his whole point, don't you think?
Yes, that was clearly his point, or else he wouldn't resign, so abruptly, and then choosing a date and screwing everybody over. So it's
Leo, Congressman Bonney Welt today on Meet the Press.
That'd be great. I'd take Christian Welker on.
Now, and in the meantime, going on with all of this, as we've talked about a lot on our show, but there's yet more, rhino attacks from the Americans for Prosperity people. We've already seen them against Dave Evans, right? The fake rhino story, right? Which is just bogus. Mm-hmm. Now we see
Dave Williams.
Isn't that what I said?
No, you said the Gabe Evans.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm okay.
Who cares? In a second. Who cares? It's fake news anyway.
That's right. No, the fake news attack on Dave Williams, and thank you. Then we also have today in newsletter called The Lobby, which is organized by a guy by the name of Roger Hudson, who is a longtime establishment uniparty rhino mouthpiece, right? There's a hit piece on Lauren Boebert. Now, the nature of this piece is ridiculous. It's a 2014 interview she did on CNN long before she was even remotely involved in politics, but when she owned Shooter's Grill, right?
Back in the good old days.
And she had a sign on the wall that said something about give me my guns and my religion or something like that, right? And so the host who was interviewing Lauren, this is again 10 years ago, says, well, do you know that quote's from President Obama? And she's like, no, I don't. Somebody bought it for me and I hung it up in my restaurant. She had no idea. And they said, do you support President Obama? And she said something to the effect of,
I respect my president. And so it's just kind of a good patriotic kind of thing to say. She's not saying Obama's my man. I love the magic guy. He is wonderful.
The law lobby this Rhino establishment outlet. The headline is something to the effect of Lauren Boebert's previous support for Obama creating a, you know, social media. First, it's not on the social media. It's only in the lobby. Secondly, I'm sure it came, just like the China attack, from the Americans for Prosperity people who are supporting. I'm not sure who they're supporting for sure in CD4. But we'll know after they push the special election, but it certainly isn't Lauren Boebert. And then we're going to be talking to Janet Joshi at the bottom of the hour, because the Americans for Prosperity people are also launching an attack on him regarding a 20-year-old when he retired. Right. Yeah, he was retiring, and we'll help let him explain it. But all of this stuff, you just, you know, don't be fooled. It's like, it's not the Democrats doing this. It is the divisive Uniparty who is the first to screech, unify, right?
Well, yeah, after they get their candidate up. But let's talk a second, because I've run campaigns and had to deal with traditional media or media in general while running a campaign. And what happens to you is that let's say the other side, they go to a reporter or whoever it is and pitches ideas. Right. And the reporter, I don't like that. Oh, yeah, I like that one. Yeah. And then they run it. And then, you know, then 10 seconds before airing, they call you up as campaign manager on the other side and say, what do you have to say to this? You know, you'd always get that 4 o'clock call from the Denver Post.
Takes them a message, yeah.
No, you talk to them and they put at the end of their article, because the end always got chopped off a lot of times. and so it didn't make any difference if it was true or not. In fact, if it wasn't true, it was harder to refute, because if it, you know, they'd say, well, you're doing this, and you go, what are you talking about?
Not even true. Yeah.
And so after a while, you pretty soon do it the same yourself, right? You go, okay, great. You went to all the news people and you'd say, okay, great. How about this one? How about this one? How about this one? And they go, I like that one. You go, boy, that's totally bogus. and you'd run with it. And you know, the other side would go, that's not true. And you go, ah-ha. And so that's the trouble. You become so cynical in politics. You don't care if it's true, and you don't care if it's not true. You know, the best attacks on you usually had a little bit of truth and a lot of exaggeration, but some of them, the good ones, had none. I mean, none whatsoever. And some of our best ones against the other side had no basis in reality. But, you know, you can't run a campaign. I will only pitch stories that I actually
Then when you're a reporter, I did not do this, but you could turn it and say, the Bonnywell campaign refuses to comment on allegations that he's Hitler. You know, it's kind of like, none of it's true, but you won't comment. Well, and here's the thing, though. Back to the Uniparty, the rhinos who are always saying, unify. They are the divisive ones so much now that the grassroots are in power in Colorado and that Trump is rising. So the Americans for Koch Prosperity, as Charlene points out, are spending money doing opposition research, not on in CD8 Caraveo, but on Janet Joshi, yeah. Right? They're doing opposition research, not on any of the CD4 candidates, but they're doing it on Lauren Boebert, right? They're doing opposition research, not on any of the CD5 Democrat candidates, but on Dave Williams. So they are spending money. And they said they were going to do this, right? When they realized they couldn't get Trump out, they said, we are going to spend millions and millions of dollars
putting out fake news.
Putting out fake news to get anti-Trump people elected to Congress. And that's what they're doing. And so, you know, screw them when they turn around and say, if the person got an R, you got to vote behind their name, because they have no intention of doing it. And as I said, they're spending all of this money. And I don't think it's going to work. I think Lauren Boebert
has
Trump's endorsement. I don't think anyone's going to buy that Lauren Boebert is this closet secret Obama enthusiast. Maybe, but I don't know.
Maybe.
And Karen Candling, why oh why can't grassroots Republicans pull from the loaded video that had Dick Wadhams endlessly lecturing the little people Republicans to be team players? Where's our offense? We're it, Karen. I guess tragically, that's a problem.
Where do you think you're going to get that message out? Us? Maybe Rhino Watch? Maybe Ash F's show? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, again, because the rhinos control, you got the liberal lefties controlling the corporate media, right? And then you've got the Anschutz media industrial complex controlled
industrial,
by rhinos.
That's good. Media,
you know, controlled by the Anschutz money. And so they aren't going to put it out there, right? And then Charlene, who is ever getting attacked the most by lamestream media is a candidate you want. Exactly.
Yes.
Kind of like the Brooklyn Bridge. I don't know, or Baltimore Bridge. I don't really know very much about bridges and cargo ships and stuff like that. But the instant the FBI came out, like, what, an hour later and said, no terrorism.
No terrorism.
Made me think it's probably terrorism.
Terrorism.
It's probably terrorism.
It's a setup by the FBI again.
Yeah, based on nothing but other than the FBI.
The poor pilot had no idea what was going on. They convinced him to turn off all the engines.
I mean, you know, who knows? Yeah, nothing to see here. I don't know that Americans are, from Charlene, I don't know that Americans are actually for Coke prosperity. No, they're not, Charlene. They're not. Hey, which leads us into the second thing. You wanted to talk about Steve Bannon.
Okay.
For a little bit. He had an interesting show on this.
I love his hair. His hair's getting wilder and wilder and more kind of.
And he has your shaving technique. Before
yes,
he goes
very
on.
Similar shaving technique.
Before he goes on the air. It's like you wave the razor. But he was talking about the fact that the elite are panicking because Americans are not for Coke prosperity. Americans are not for BlackRock prosperity. Americans are not for Harvard and Yale prosperity, right?
They're not for billions of or millions of refugees pouring into the country prosperity.
Right. Getting, what, some $18,000 a year from the city of New York.
Good. Go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to bankrupt that little puppy.
It's just ridiculous. And people are seeing through it, right? You have the border, you've got inflation. And I think then you have the situation in Ukraine.
Oh, that's going well.
Oh, yeah. Right. And well, just all the foreign conflicts going on. And he was pointing out that. And polls go up and down and up and down. But bottom line, Trump has way more support than any of them, including Americans for Prosperity, thought he was going to have and want right. him to have. Right. And so you've got on one hand, the rhino world trying to do what they can, like, you know, for instance, meddling in Colorado primaries. But even more, he was saying there was a New York Times article yesterday that talked about President Obama, like, regularly having lunch at the White House now, making phone calls. And he's not saying, hey, how's Joe doing? What are you guys, you know, I mean, Obama is
directing the troops,
as Bannon said in the New York Times, that there is a hard wire between Barack Obama and the White House. And
they're done trying to get through Jill and whoever.
No, they're not even talking to her.
And you know, how many hours a day is Joe Compass Mentis? People would say 2-3, or not too early, not too late. If you get him between 10 and maybe 11, you know, you could talk to him, but that's not.
Obama trying to say, Obama would call and say, Joe, you need to do a news conference about the bridge. And then Joe would be like, I rode the train across that bridge.
Yeah, many times.
No train. I mean, you know, why would you even buy
a train? Sure, there was a train.
No, it was an invisible train.
And he also apparently told her, the special prosecutor, a warm dinger of a story. And it proved to be totally false, totally. And her's going, huh? What?
What special prosecutor?
The one that decided not to charge Obama.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So, but anyway, Steve Bannon does a good job explaining this. And as he said, it's not me saying this. This is the New York Times. If we could please play the Bannon soundbite.
Obama is directly calling staffers in the White House. I want you to think about that. Obama is directly, according to the New York Times, Katie Rogers, he's directly calling folks in the White House, kind of giving them orders. Say, hey, how's it going? Hey, have you thought about this? Think about that for a second. A former president is calling into the White House, talking to the chief of staff and talking to other guys. Hey, I think we're going to be thinking about this. And he's the one that had two lunches, went to the White House twice in the last couple of months to tell Biden, yo, bro, this guy's going to kick your butt. You got to get focused here because Trump and MAGA are coming. And what's the linchpin of all this? One of the connective tissues is, hey, Judge, suck on this. It's Matthew Colangelo, a civil rights division hack, political operative apparatchik in the Justice Department, an Obama pick, okay? And now he's up. He just kind of felt at his part of his career, he should just go and help out Eric Adams and Bragg and Letitia Big Tish James. Come on, dude. This whole thing's wired. Totally wired. Hardwired.
and what he's talking about there, and we saw this in the Fannie Willis case too, right? Where all of a sudden they're having all kinds of lunches and meetings with the White House and the Obama people. And what he's talking about is all of these Obama people are not, because, you know, just look, you know, Alvin Bragg does not inspire confidence. I think, you know, Fannie
Willis. Oh, he does. You see him coming out,
Sending all of a sudden it's like, hey, former, you know, U.S. attorney, can you just go in there and be like the intern or something just to steer things there? So I think that's just interesting.
I did remember the story, so I'm going to tell it anyway. So he tells Bragg, he says, when I got out of law school, I joined a big corporate firm and stuff, and I got a hold of a case.
Who told this to Bragg?
No, told this to her, the special prosecutor, when they were examining him.
Who? I mean, you've lost.
Biden.
Okay, Biden
her
told
is
this.
Is a prosecutor.
Okay.
And he said, I got out of law school, and I went to work for this big corporate firm, and they got signed this case. Some guy had his face smashed in and his penis lost and leg lost and so forth. And I had to work on this case. And at the end, I succeeded in this person not getting any money. And so I felt so awful working. And this, you know, Clarence Darrow had actually a true story similar to this one. And so they said, let's go out to lunch and celebrate screwing over this poor guy. He said, no, I can't come to lunch. And he went right across the street to the public defender and signed up there. So they all kind of went, because that's in the transcripts that the special prosecutor came out with. So they look back. Are there any cases in Delaware that this reflected? Not when Joe was practicing law, but before, when he was in law school, there was a case where some guy was badly damaged and hurt and so forth, except he won the case and got a lot of money. But Joe
just made up this
the whole
case,
thing. The whole thing he made up. The whole thing.
So, that's why Barack Obama is not calling Joe.
Hey, you want to hear about the time
when
I was the big lawyer? And by the way, big firms do not give the new lawyers big cases.
No. Here's from Karen Candleen. The sign in Boebert's bar was a direct rebuttal to Obama's clinging to their guns and God. But they're playing to people who have a short-term memory of a flea. Absolutely, Karen. And I don't know that it'll be particularly effective. You know, you never know. But I just, again, the worst thing, or the main thing I think to know there, is you have the Rhino establishment Republicans spending money to defeat and trash other Republicans. And then if they don't win, turning around and saying unity, right? I mean, they're the ones causing the division. And you know that the lobby, Heidi Ganahl.
We got to find that one with.
They're not going to.
Wadhams going out there going, we got to unify everybody.
He says it constantly.
Well, but not these days. These days, they're Stalinist.
Oh, that's right. Now we're just, but I mean, it's just ridiculous. There's no way they're going to vote for Lauren Boebert. And this from Charlene, Americans are not for globalist prosperity. That's true. And as she says, that bridge event was sure a fast investigation. It was kind of like the Nord Stream pipeline investigation. That took them about 5 minutes to blame China. And then that went away, right? And again, here's the thing. And we're going to have actually Robert Spencer on talking about this. On Monday, he's saying, if you are not worried about a terrorist attack in the United States, you really need to be.
Yeah.
And some of it, I think, is true. It's like the FBI and the CIA and the intelligence community come out and say, no sign of terrorism. And so, again, even how can you tell? It's not like, I mean,
well, they didn't make it up. It wasn't like Michigan, really. You know, most of the things, and they prove this in The Intercept and so on, most of these terror where they catch the terrorists are really just set up so they find mentally impaired people and convince them that they want to blow up something and they do everything.
So you're launching a complex international investigation into a major catastrophe like that. You don't wrap that up in 2 weeks, right? Yeah. You don't, it's not like, so maybe they didn't find a sign in the pilot office saying terrorists did this, right? I mean, and then they said, oh, clearly it's not a terrorist.
They wanted to calm the American people.
But yeah, well, no one believes anything they say anyway. And then another thing, okay, so we got Janet Joshi coming at 3:30. I want to talk about, though, this is a fun story. So ousted RNC person, Ronna McDaniel, hired by NBC. We talked about this on Monday. NBC people's heads explode, right? And they say, I can't believe
they
this.
They put her on Sunday with Christian Welker in their big premier show and stuff. And they get out of her, you know, the concessions you have to work it. At NBC, one that the election was fine. There's no problem.
No issues with the election,
and no pardoning those those insurrections of January 6th. Absolutely.
She sucks, by the way.
And Trump sucks. And so she, you know, she goes and does it. And then they fire her. They go, we'll make you worthless to the other side, and then we'll fire you.
Kind of an idiot. And Trump is like, you know, if she had called me, I would have told her. But it was so funny with that. The MS or the NBC people talking about, we're going to have to use our journalists to vet her credibility.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that vetted Leslie Stahl. Look at Leslie Stahl in here.
And the laptop. And maybe we could have those 51 intelligence community guys.
Oh, man, they're good. They all know that stuff. Yeah.
Complaining. And then in the meantime, and NBC fires her. So first, if you're a boss, why do you have let all your whiny employees tell you what to do?
Because you're just going to be there a couple of weeks anyway.
So it turns out, apparently, Ronna McDaniel had a two-year, $300,000-a-year contract with NBC. You know she's going to get every penny of it. She's hired some high-powered attorney now.
But she's got to get Don Lemons.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think she is also, according to Politico, contemplating suing NBC for defamation and a hostile work environment.
Yeah.
That's great.
That was one hostile worker. I must admit, talk about hostile work environment.
I'm sitting
here. Holy shit, Chuck Todd and everybody else.
And Jacob has raised his hand. Hey, Jacob, what do you got today?
I just want to remind you, back on 9/11, that the CIA or the FBI knew that there was a terrorist who wanted to learn how to fly a plane, but not how to land it. And it took the people after 9/11 to figure out that terrorist, the only reason he wanted to fly and not to land is because he wanted to crash into a building.
Right.
And I think that's what I think is happening here. Because they went quiet on this real quick.
Well, it does make you suspicious when they come out and they say that like immediately, right? I mean, they don't say we're still looking or anything like that, but no sign so far. They come out and they flat out declare nothing terrorist about it. Yeah. I think, you know, Laura Loomer, she's pointed out accurately that this is sort of a huge transportation thing, right? I mean, trucks use this. And this bridge is going to be out of commission for years, probably.
Out of commission doesn't exist anymore.
Well, I mean, before
out of
they
commission,
have a new,
it's
they
going
have
to the dumpy. I mean, a little scrap metal.
But they're going to block that pathway. They say that 75% of the car parts that are exported to other countries go through that port.
Perfect. Perfect. No more exports.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's what it is.
All right. Hey, thank you, Jacob. Thank you. And then this is from James. They've already determined that no terrorist is involved. I guess a complete and thorough investigation has eliminated any possibility of somebody interfering with the operation of the engines. And then Leo, Ronna Romney, $300,000 a year. Isn't that what fast food workers are going to make in California starting in April?
I thought that was pretty low. She went pretty cheap.
But just to wrap it up on her, it is pretty funny, I think. That first they hire her, you'd think that maybe they would have been like, we hire all kinds of political hacks. What difference does it make if we hire, you're a political hack, Jen Psaki.
Not as big as they get.
But there's Cheney on here all the time and nobody complains. But then they cave and they fire her immediately.
Yeah.
And so now she's suing them. And
I think she'll win the hostile work environment.
You know, somebody's hopefully getting in trouble there who like came up with
the
idea.
No, there's not anybody getting in trouble there. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The only person getting in trouble is Jon Stewart. He's in trouble because the first couple of his shows he did some jokes against Biden and this wonderful thing in Politico saying, thank God they've stopped, you know, doing no Biden jokes. None. We must not be fair. At NBC, we must never, ever be fair.
Our credibility must never be questioned. Yeah. So all that kind of stuff going on. And I see we have Janik Joshi with us. Janik, hey, are you ready to go? All right.
Hey. I'm here. Hi,
right.
How are you?
Thank you. This is Janik Joshi, the grassroots candidate who we support for CD8, where we live, and the assembly is coming up this Saturday in Greeley. So we wanted to have him on sort of one last time.
I'll be voting for him.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
One last time to talk about him. But before we jump into kind of the positive things, I do want to address this. We talked a little bit at the beginning of the show, the Americans for Prosperity, who support Gabe Evans, who is not going through the assembly, but is going the petition route, have launched an attack against you, bringing up some 20-year-old medical license issue. And I know I've had some people ask me, email me and ask me questions about it. So let me just give you a chance to explain. I mean, it's just a hit piece. It's an attack piece. It's fake news. It's not true. So I'll just say that. But why don't you go ahead and explain it?
Yeah, it was a frivolous complaint that was filed over 20 years ago by a local hospital with the quality of care. And I kind of fought it. They never found any type of quality issue. But you know how the government is and how they are weaponized at this point. And they'll come after you. They got unlimited money from the taxpayer's pocket, while citizens have limited amount of money to fight the government. My lawyer said, we will win this thing, but it will cost you over $100,000, and you are at the retirement age. If you can retire, save the money. So I kept the money and took the retirement. Look at what they are doing to President Trump right now. I mean, they have never proved him guilty on anything, and people were trying to get him off the ballot and this and that. And he had to fight it and spend a lot of legal costs. Well, I don't have that kind of money, so I couldn't fight. I kept the money for my retirement and for my grandkids.
Right. And so for anybody who has questions, that's basically it. And as I said, I think what's particularly disturbing is I think it's a hit piece that's coming from other Republicans. It's coming from the Gabe Evans supporter side of the equation, I believe. So,
well, America's prosperity supports
right,
Gabe Evans.
Right, right. Okay, so enough with that. We put that to rest. Jen, why don't you talk to us? I mean, I know there's a ton of things we talked about, the economy, we've talked about immigration, anything that you know, just kind of heading in to for folks who, because I know there are several candidates, for people who are still thinking, I mean, what would you want to say to people as we head into the assembly?
Again, my name is Janak Joshi, and I am running for CD8. My website is janakforcd8.com. My principles are simple: smaller government, lower taxes, less regulations. And any time a bill came which was against those principles, I voted no. And I'm 100% pro-life. I'm for pro-gun candidate. I support our gun owners. I am an immigrant from India, came legally. So I'm all for legal immigration. But at the same time, we need to secure our border, keep criminals out. And for that reason, I support President Trump, and I have endorsed him too.
Well, and I think like what you're talking about, you were at the state legislature for years. And this is one thing we like about you is for people, I mean, all you got to do is look at somebody's record, right? Gabe Evans has a failing record with the Liberty Scorecard people. You had a great record. You voted no, and you voted no sometimes, even though the other members of your party, the leadership, were like, you said no, I said we weren't going to increase the budget. They're like, John, I can't increase the budget. You're like, no. So, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if that didn't meet my principles, I'm not afraid to do that. I served on education, finance, health insurance, appropriation. So I served on several different committees there. And absolutely, if, for example, in 2012, the House had to come up with the budget, it's kind of every other year they take the turn. And we increased the budget by over $1 billion. And that was against our principles during the campaign trail. We always saying we will not increase the budget. And then we did it. So I voted no.
When you said they called you because you're a doctor. Doctor, no, right?
Yeah, some of them started to call it. Even when they do the annual skits, they kind of made fun of me for being Dr. No.
That is a good thing in this day and age. Well, let me ask you, as you travel around CD8, and I know because you, like all the candidates at various speeches and things, what are you hearing people are most concerned about?
Well, I have been doing some meet and greet also, and the main thing about the economy is that I think the Biden administration is lying. They tell us that, oh, the inflation is down and this is down and that. I think it was only about, I have a little copy of it, about 2 weeks ago, Wall Street Journal had that, who is looking at the prices? And they had a little graph about it. So it says from change from February 2020 to February 24. So this is like 4 years when Biden was elected. Baby wipes, 2020 price was $4.25. Now it is $6.64. Cooking oil was 5.22. Now it is 8.04. Wow. Even dog food was 5.42. Now it's $8.48. And eggs, we all know that. I mean, we used to get eggs for $1.99 a dozen or something like that. Now you can get less than almost $4.
Oh, I know.
My wife went for, she likes to make bread. And she was telling me she used to buy the bag of bread flour for about $5 or less. And now it's almost $10.
So, oh my gosh.
So who is counting this inflation? And
well, saying, go to McDonald's. All of a sudden, you know.
Exactly.
You go, whoa.
Everywhere.
$1,000 for a burger?
Yeah, yesterday. So my son had a friend we picked up from school. They came over after school, right? And they're both 13. So, you know, their snack consists of what, you know, an adult man would eat these days, right?
Yeah, a lot more.
So we went to Wendy's and it was $25. I'm like,
exactly.
That used to be a price of 4 years ago, not, you know, right. And not when I was growing up, but that was a price of a decent meal. And it's right. Like, it's crazy.
I mean, medium pizza probably used to get on sale like on Tuesday night or something, $7.99 or close to that. Now it's almost $15.
Yeah. But not to worry.
Yeah. Right. But no, I mean, inflation is down, really. So that's what is worrying. And I think the people says that why they have to increase the price because the cost has gone up also.
Yeah,
so like sure. The minimum wage has gone up now, mm-hmm. And the cost of the bringing the goods has gone up. So a lot of people are, I was talking on Saturday at a meeting and they were asking me, they say, is there anything we can do or should we just close our business?
Wow.
And
yeah.
That's what people are now talking. They are talking about closing the businesses because they say we can't afford all these things anymore.
Right. Well, and some of it, I think, when you know, you look at the energy infrastructure, things like that. I mean, if Biden would just get rid of this Green New Deal stuff and all of the regulations.
Get rid of Green New Deal. Oh, no, Julie, that's the future of our country.
It's the regulations.
Thousands of jobs.
And this minimum wage, they want to, I mean, they were talking in California the other day. I saw like $50 or something like that per hour.
Well, and they're firing everybody. I saw Pizza Hut. They raised the minimum wage. So Pizza Hut's like, okay, well, you're all fired now. It's like, yeah, well, that'll right. teach them, you know?
And so, you got to get one of those cards from New York City, though.
So, I mean, they're lying. I remember in our medicine, we do a lot of statistics for the all these medical studies and everything. That's how we prove if the drug is good or a treatment is good or bad. And they always say that statistics never lies. It is the statisticians who lie.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I mean, anything else too that you would want to you know, comment on or share your views on?
No, actually, basically, my record is very clear. Like you just brought up for the cut, the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, they were giving me 100% score. And
wow.
Even the Liberty score, I was over 90% many times, mostly over 95%.
Well, Gabe Evans, I had a meeting early on in Adams County, and Gabe Evans came up, and I said, well, what's your Liberty scorecard score? He said, I never looked. I have no idea whatsoever. And I said, well,
yeah.
I think you had a failing grade. You had a 62. He said, I had a 67. And I said, well, wait a minute. I thought that,
you,
I thought
didn't
you
look
never
at
looked
it.
At it.
But something that we are going to also do, we are looking at when I was at some of the meetings and even at the assembly, some people are having problems driving all the way to Greeley from over Adams County. So we are going to try to get a bus from probably from Commerce City to Greeley and bring people back.
All right.
Oh,
so
okay.
that make it easier for people with disabilities or somebody who has a problem with that. So we
Maybe
are working
somebody's
on
not
right
good
now.
at
We
work.
should be done within next hour on that, and we will send out the email to our Adams County
Oh,
folks.
that's great.
Oh, that's great. That,
Yeah.
yeah, that would be very helpful because I know, I
Right.
think the last time C8, it was like in Thornton, I think, or somewhere. And so, yeah, now it's
Yeah.
in Greeley. So, okay. Well, Janet,
Yeah.
how can people find out more about you? How can they help?
And they can call me on my cell 719-330-3102, or they can reach me out through the website, which is Janak, which is my first name, Janak, Janak4FORCD8.com.
Well, as I said, I'll be voting for you. So best of luck
Yes, I'll
Saturday.
see you on Saturday over there.
All right.
All
Thank you
right.
very
Thank you,
much.
Jen.
Yeah.
All
All
right. We'll
right.
see you later.
Take
Thank
care.
you, sir. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that'd be kind of fun. The bus, if he wins, it would be a party bus.
Party bus. Yeah. We need a kegger on that
That's
thing.
right. From Charlene, Dr. No is great. Sandra says, if Dr. Joshi was in my district, he would definitely get my vote. We need more like him in Colorado and the United States. Well, yeah, we do. And again, you just kind of go to, so who is against you? And then you can decide. So, but if Americans for Prosperity is against you, you know that you want to vote for that person. Right. That's how you want to do it. You know, kind of dovetailing then on something he said, I think this is interesting. I don't know if you guys saw this. So the city of Denver right now is in a situation where they have this incredible illegal immigrant crisis. They are on a rotating basis, closing Department of Motor Vehicles, rec centers, libraries, furloughing their own city employees. I don't know if you've been to Denver
you've got to.
It's like, I mean, it's like the homeless, you and Rev are driving. I was on the phone with you, Rev, and he's like, oh, people are trying to squeegee our windows,
we got
right?
Squeegee people. Yay. We got the squeegee men.
It's like, so Denver, I mean, the crime is insane. People are leaving. They're fleeing downtown. The office vacancy rate, they're calling them zombie buildings. It's over 30%. And realtors are saying, oh, that's not sustainable. It's like, you think? Because what happens then? They go into foreclosures. I mean, and then they really become zombie people. So what is Denver City Council worried about?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You know,
sugar drinks.
Sugar drinks for your kids. That's
your
right.
Little stinkers. They can see on a menu and they see Fresca, Diet Coke.
Orange juice.
Orange juice, yes. Not anymore. Thank God. To our ever-vigilant city council.
That's right. And we're not joking. Denver City Council yesterday passed a new law that says restaurants that have a kids menu are prohibited from including in the beverages for the kids anything but milk or water. Now, they can still offer it. Yes, you can have soda.
It's not to deny. The kid go, I want
almond milk. Yeah, but you know, Leo says put beer in the kids menu.
Yeah, right.
From Sandra, is Michelle Obama on the Denver City Council? LOL.
As will be.
So you've got businesses and you get businesses saying the minimum wage is too high in Denver. It's going up again. Or, you know, they're like, can't take it. We're closing because of the crime. We're closing because of the illegal immigrants and the homeless people doing drugs and defecating outside of our doors. All of these things they're doing, and they're doing it to their own city employees. And so what do they decide to do to make the poor restaurant industry's lives even more difficult?
Reprint all your menus. So that'll be good.
Reprint all
that'll
your
help
members.
The printing business in Denver.
Well,
so that'll be good.
Exactly. But I mean, again, and think of that. If you're a restaurant and you're like thinking about locating somewhere and you've got the Denver City Council messing around with stuff like this, who knows what that, you know, and now you can't have plastic straws, or can you have plastic straws? Can you have, you know, styrofoam containers, or can't you have? I think you'd just be like, you know, I just think I'm going to go to a different city, right? I mean, it's there.
Well, but there are a lot of people in Denver and they do have to eat occasionally, but not too much.
Well, they're not going to have any choices. They better not want to have, you know, a Diet Coke or something
no
like
kids.
That.
No kids can eat.
No. I mean, but what a ridiculous nanny state. A state of affairs, right? That the Denver City Council, with everything that is wrong with Denver right now, all of the crises they're facing, that they're taking the time to create more regulations, more rules on restaurants that are totally stupid anyway. It's as if like kids aren't going to know that, you know, they watch TV and there's a mountain. You know what I mean? It's like, thank God for TikTok, right? TikTok.
They can't read anyway. So what difference does it make
really?
On the menu? but you know, and who knows what they'll come up with next, because that's what they're into. You know, you're really wondering under Hancock's administration, could anything be worse than government by high density developers? And you go, yes, progressives.
Progressives.
Turn it over to the progressives. They'll do everything.
Oh, we've got Sherry from Lakewood on line one. Hey, Sherry, thank you for calling in.
Hi. You know, the gentleman that you had on said something interesting about our small businesses just thinking, well, should I just close down?
Right.
And I wanted to just remind you that with small businesses, when you have like millions of small businesses and they're kind of doing their own thing, it's kind of hard to control them.
Yeah.
So if you can destroy small businesses, it kind of centralizes the control over all the commerce. And so with the whole pandemic, like the pandemic and the non-essential, okay, all of a sudden we found out that your business isn't essential, the protests and the riot damage, that all was directed at small businesses.
Yeah.
Because small businesses have freedom where if you have a big corporation, then you can come in and tell that corporation that you'll hire so many transgenders and you'll all get vaccinated and you'll all do this and you'll all do that because you can control them. But when you have everybody has a small business, it's really hard to have that control over them. So,
well, it was great to see them, all these stores, small businesses closed while Walmarts and everything else could stay open.
Right.
Churches had to close, although protests by BLM could be fine. I mean, it was an amazing showing you what you can do in this country with a little emergency or two.
Well, and Sherry, you know, you bring up like a really good point, which is always getting to the why are they doing that, right? And it's, you're absolutely right, and great catch there. It's on one hand, it's just the nanny state control. But on the other hand, like you said, if they can drive the small businesses away, and then all they have the big corporations that they are in cahoots with anyway,
right?
You're right. I mean, if you're a small business, you're like, I can't change my menu and my staff and my pay scale every time Denver City Council gets a bee in its bonnet, right? That's a good point. It's kind of like the immigration. That's part of the plan. Driving small businesses out of business is, it's not a, you know, it's a feature of the plan. That's pretty smart.
There's a great article in Conservative Treehouse said, you know, all the sanctions against Russia that didn't do any good. Well, the real purpose was to digitize the economy. So everyone will be on a digital one so they can control all that. They didn't really intend to hurt Russia, and of course it didn't. Russia's doing great, but it has gotten a lot closer to they can have everything be digital,
exactly.
In which they control everything.
Right.
And so kind of on that order, the new thing, Glenn Beck did a little show on this, that there's a thing called the Treasury Financial Crimes Enforcement Network.
Ooh,
and
that
now,
sounds good.
Yeah, they're looking to collect your information on the beneficial ownership information that you have to report. So if you're exempted if you have 20 employees or more.
Oh,
and
good.
If you have $5 million in revenue, you're exempted. But if you're smaller than that, then you doggone better make sure by the end of the year that you report this. And you get these penalties. I mean, they're from $500 to $800 a day. Like, if you start a new business and you don't report within that 30 days, then that's the penalty every day past that 30 days.
What is this
and
called?
There can be jail time.
Oh, good. What's it called?
It's called the Beneficial Ownership Information. It's through FinCEN, FinCEN.gov. I'll put it on the Facebook, the link to it. It's like the bureaucracy, it's just crazy. Everything's vague. It's confusing. Nobody's heard of this. And it's like Glenn Beck starts going off and it's like, what are you talking about? I've never even heard of this.
Oh, we'll look into that too, because we would fall under that having, you know, making less than $5 million and that's just a few less than 20. Hey, Sherry, thank you for your call. Great thinking as always.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
And Charlene says, maybe Sherry knows the end game, centralized communist control and then big national chain restaurants with their GMO, but no sugar. And then Leo says, thank God I run my business from under a bridge owned by the state. Then you're, well, then you'd be fine, right? Then you get
as long as you don't get a cargo ship hitting it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. Hey, on Party Friday. We'll have the final report from CD4.
That's going to tell you a lot.
I mean,
if it's Sonnenberg, then we've been right the whole time for somebody else.
And maybe they'll do the right thing. Maybe they'll put somebody in, you know, again, like a Greg Lopez who has no interest.
What's the last time the insider group did the right thing? I mean, sometime in 1922 or 3.
Something like that. Yeah, maybe.
Do the right thing. Oh, sure.
Hey, and then on Monday, like I said, Robert Spencer had a great column saying, if you aren't, and explaining why, if you're not worried about a terrorism attack, you should be. So
it's going to come, but maybe they're just trying to put the lid on until I can blame Trump.
He has a great column. But anyway, that'll do it for us.
Thank you, everybody. Ships at sea. We'd like to thank Janet Josie for coming on. We'd love to thank all our callers and texters. We appreciate each and every one of you.
That's right. And see you on Party Friday.
Bye-bye.